Would you turn in your Bibles, please, with me to 2 Kings chapter 6. I want to finish up the last two lessons from a sunken axe head here in 2 Kings chapter 6. I want to read again the verses of Scripture that we did last time, verses 1 through 7. Review very quickly the first two lessons and then get to the last two. And the sons of the prophet said unto Elisha, Behold now, the place where we dwell with thee is too straight for us. It's too narrow. Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make us a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, Go ye. And one said, Be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. So he went with them, and when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water. And he cried and said, Alas, master, for it was borrowed. And the man of God said, Where fell it? And he showed him the place, and he cut down a stick and cast it in thither, and the iron did swim, or it floated to the top. Therefore said he, Take it up to thee. And he put out his hand and took it. And by the way, take it up to thee is in a command form in the Hebrew. Very interesting. That evidently this man was a little hesitant to reach out and take that axe head. And so Elisha says to him, kind of looks at it, reach out and take it to you. Don't be afraid. And so he reached out and he took the head. And so we have here a miracle that is performed. Not one individual that day when they went down to Jordan was anticipating seeing an axe head float on the water. They weren't anticipating that. They, I'm sure, were just going down for a day's work. Cut down trees, prepare the wood for the building of a brand new facility for the housing of these sons of the prophets. But they saw that day a miracle performed by God through the servant Elisha that left an impression in their heart and mind. And I want to draw some lessons from what took place here that I hope will be helpful to all of us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for this opportunity to gather together as your people. What a privilege. May we not take it for granted. There are people that today could not meet because it's illegal to gather. North Korea, in the Arabic countries, some other places around the world where it's illegal to gather as a Christian community, and so they have to meet in houses. They meet just in a handful of people together. And Lord, we have the freedom and the privilege of gathering together here tonight. Lord, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The first lesson that we looked at last week is this. You cannot be the Christian you ought to be living on your own wits and power alone. You cannot be the Christian you ought to be. You know, these words like ought and must and do are important words in the Christian's vocabulary. There are things that you should do, but there are also things that you ought to do. That's important. The Christian life is not a salad bar where you just pick and choose what you want to do. Listen, as God's child, you belong to Him. And He expects you and He expects me to be in His control every hour of every day. Where He can just put His finger on your life and say, I need you to go do this. Yes, Lord, I'll go do that. You ever had that impression of the Lord? Where He began to deal with you? I've had some times where somebody would call me. Happened this past week. They called me and said, I don't know if you know this or not, but they mentioned the name of somebody. They're in the hospital. And I think that they'd appreciate a visit. I'm out there at the T-Ball World Series. And so I said, I will do my best to get out there. And I began to think, maybe I don't have time to do this. Well, the next morning, I got a phone call, and they said they released him from the hospital. He's doing well. Everything's been corrected. The individual had a pacemaker that started going haywire. And he collapsed on the floor because it was not stimulating his heart. And when they got in there, they reprogrammed it. And it started working again, and he just came right back to life again. They said, you don't need to be here. So they sent him home. And I had kind of debated on whether to do that, and the Lord kind of convicted me. He said, you have to make time. You have to make time. You know, folks, there are so many opportunities that many times pass us by that we could have gone and said a word of encouragement, or you could have had prayer with somebody, or you could have picked up the phone and called somebody that you thought about that passed your mind. Have you ever done that? Just picked up the phone or maybe text someone. I texted somebody I haven't talked to in 3 years. Just happened to see their name on my phone, and I looked at it and I said, I'm going to text him today. Fellow Christian, I texted him, and he said, Pastor Tom. And he just went on, long, long text that just went on and on. I didn't know what I'd stirred up whenever I did that. And he said, you know what? He said, we were there for 3 years at Gospel Projects and said, we miss it. We're living in Texas now. He said, I'm pastoring a church out here. And said he was telling about his son was playing baseball out there in Texas and so forth. We got caught up just back and forth. And he said, let me just say this. Thank you for taking the time to text me. You made my day. Now, I just happened to glance through it. And the Lord said, you need to text him. We had a good chance to get caught up. I caught him up on everything that was happening here in the ministry and so forth there. And he said, I just want you to know I pray for y'all. That's a blessing. Listen, folks, there are a lot of things that just fly by us while we're just doing our thing. We can sit hours in front of a television. You know how much mental activity goes on in front of a TV? That much. You know, now you may be watching a fun movie, or you may be watching this, that, but you know what? Hours slip by and you say, well, it's bedtime. What happened all the time? And we sat there in front of the TV. And, you know, there's things that we can do as a Christian to encourage others. We need to do more. We need to let the Holy Spirit of God be at work. Many times we're like an axe handle without an axe head. We're not doing any work for God that has it. You can go out and take an axe handle and beat on a tree and knock the bark off it, make a lot of noise, but you're never going to cut the tree down. And there are trees that need to be tended to. They needed to get this building built. They had the sanction of the prophet, Elisha. Let's get this job done. He went down there with them. But you can't chop wood without an axe head on the axe handle. And you cannot do the work of God as a Christian if you're not in the control of the Holy Spirit. We don't control the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is to control us. Number two, you need to pinpoint where you lost the axe head. This was one thing that just came out to me as I looked at this particular passage here, verse 6. And the man of God said, where fell it? Now what does he do? Did God know where the axe head was? Yes, he did. Who was going to perform the miracle? Elisha did not perform the miracle. All right? He may have spoken, he threw the stick in, but whose power brought the axe head from the sand on the bottom and floated it up to the top? That was God's work. But Elisha says, where did it fall? Now here's this man. How many times have you lost something or something fell off? And yet, I remember whenever I had contacts, my eyes would dry out during the day, and sometimes it would get caught up in my eyelid. How many of you had contacts at some time or another? It was a blessed day when I got rid of the contacts. They'd dry out, and one of them would curl up in there. It'd be stuck up under my eyelid. I'm trying to get it out, and boop, fall down on the floor. And you pick it up, and you try to wash it off and clean it and tear it. And then you spend the rest of the day, because you forgot the rest of your contacts at the house, and you're walking around half blind in one eye seeing. We lose stuff all the time. I lost something the other day down at the ballpark. I'd taken a screw off of the back of the television, and it dropped down and went down, and I'm down here on the floor trying to find it. We lose stuff all the time. When I was a kid, Dad brought home a homemade go-kart. And boy, we thought we were in heaven. We had that old go-kart, and it had a chain on it and the old-timey clutch mechanism on it. And that we could not keep that chain on that go-kart. We'd get going fast, and all of a sudden, bink, it'd pop off. So we'd go out there, and we'd try to do it, but sometimes the chain would break. or the master link would fall off. And we would go out there with magnets and look for the master link. It's got to be around here somewhere. You know, it wasn't a time in our life that we could just run down there and buy a new master link. Dad said, you get out there and you find it. And we'd get out there and we took magnets on a string and just drug it along in the sand. And we would find them. We found about 1,000 other things too that were in our yard we had lost. We'd find it, put it back together again, start that thing up and go at it again. There's just something about losing stuff. And it seems almost impossible to find it. I'll tell you a story, one more, before we go on to 3 and 4 real quick. I got glasses in 1984. I came home from college at Bob Jones. I told my mom and dad, I said, I have to sit in the front of every class. I cannot see the board. And sometimes I get assigned a seat in the back and I have to go up there. I need to get my eyes checked. So we went down there and found out that both of my eyes were messed up and I needed glasses. So I got glasses, went back up there. Semester, I could see great. Got home and some of the boys said, let's go camping. So we went camping and I had my glasses on. Now, you know how you get used to your glasses being on and you don't think anything about putting a strap on behind there? Well, Ding Dong got into the canoe and started down the river. And you know what happens in canoes when you go down the river? Do they ever stay floating? Well, one of the guys got an idea of flipping the canoe while we were going down. So they come charging out of the woods because they'd paddled up the river. And the next thing I know, I'm at the bottom of the creek. I come up and my glasses are gone. Now, I'm the kind of guy that goes into panic mode. If I lose my keys, if I can't find my keys, ask my kids. Jonathan's over there nodding. That's right. Where's my keys at? Somebody borrowed my keys. Where's my wallet? Where's my comb? I just came up and I realized I didn't have my glasses. The first thing I did, right down in the water. And I was feeling around, trying to find it. I was out there till dark. Couldn't find my glasses. Now, I know what happened. The creek flipped it down the thing and it got in a swirl and it buried under the sand somewhere. But I had to spend the rest of the night without glasses. Now, when you've worn glasses all day and then you take them off, what's your eyesight like? Pitiful. All right. And my eyes have actually gotten better with diabetes. That's a crazy thing. I'm one of the 9% of the population that their eyes get better with diabetes, so I don't have to have them like I used to. But I was so heartbroken, I had to go to my dad and tell him I lost my glasses down the river. I knew I was like, well, did you have something to put on to hold your glasses on? No, sir. Yep. So guess who got to buy a pair of glasses? Yeah. Lesson learned. I never went out on the river again without my glasses. I either took them off and stuffed them in a bag, or I had string tied to them or one of those glasses things on it. I learned my lesson. All right? Losing stuff. This axe head was lost. And Elisha said, pinpoint it, find it. You know what you have to do? You have to pinpoint when you stepped away from the Lord and started doing things on your own. And you got to go back and make it right. And you got to say, Lord, I got to have your power and strength. I'm sorry, Lord, that I walked away from you and figured out things on my own. I found out I don't do very good at that. Number 3. Don't underestimate the miraculous power and work of God to fix problems in your behalf. I mentioned this on Sunday night, and I'm going to say it again. Don't underestimate the miraculous work and power of God to fix problems in your behalf. I think all of us that have known the Lord can bear witness to the fact that the Lord worked out situations and difficulties and problems and things that we just had absolutely no control over. And He just, in His power and in His might, took care of it. He took care of it. You know, He loves His children. Amen? He loves His children. Don't underestimate. As far as that man was concerned, he was going to have to go and pay the expense of having to replace that axe head. But you know what he did? He went to the man of God and he said, I've lost the axe head. It was borrowed. And Elisha said, where did it go? He pointed it out. Elisha took up a stick. It wasn't a magic stick, by the way. All right? Boy, have I heard I've read a few things and heard a few things about God's magic stick. All right? You know, and some of these preachers, they had their magic stick that they'll send you in the mail. It's a lot smaller than what Elisha used because we have to put it in a mailing bag, you know. But you can get Elisha's magic stick in the mail, and you can lay it, and God will make your axe head float. Okay? You're going to be mighty disappointed. Mighty disappointed. It wasn't a magic stick. It was God's power. Because when he threw the stick out there, everybody was watching the stick. And boop, up comes the axe head, floating in complete defiance of gravity. Complete defiance. Iron doesn't float. Condensed iron like that. But God can make it float. Don't underestimate what God can do. When problems that you can't solve, don't give up. You just pray. You just pray. God can do things you can't do. What a reminder. Important lesson. And then finally, verse 7 records something interesting to me. We're told in verse 6 that the axe head floated, but Elisha told the man who lost his axe head to reach out and pick it up. And I couldn't help but think about this in this regard. God did his part. Now it was time for that man to do his part. Was the axe fixed yet? Got it in one hand. Here's the axe head. Here's the handle. Who's going to fix it now? It was his job to get the handle and put the head back on and go back to work. God did not put the axe head back on the handle. That was something that son of the prophet could handle on his own. Isn't that wonderful how God works? God doesn't do everything. God does what He does, and He did it in a miraculous form. But there's also stuff we've got to do. And so these four practical lessons, I hope will be a help to us all. You know, there are things that you have to do. I'll tell you one of my boat stories. I think I've probably shared some of them before with you, but I remember I first got my boat after I took it out on the river and broke the transom on it. Kent was with me, and we were in a terrible, blinding thunderstorm, lightning popping all over the place. We were bailing, and Kent was driving, and I was bailing, hoping that we'd make it back to port. Well, I got that all fixed, and I said, "Mom, Dad, you haven't been out in my boat yet. Let's go." So they met me down on the river, and I was just beaming ear to ear. You know, I've got my boat fixed. I'm putting it out in the water. Started it up. And we started going out into the river, and all of a sudden, blim, 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 blim. Squirt, 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 starting fluid. I did everything I knew to do but stand on my head. Rode all the way back in. Mom and Dad in the back. I know my dad was laughing his head off. Okay? So the first boat ride, they got paddled from the river back to the dock, and I was just fuming. This boat is my, I don't know. We had already nicknamed Mr. Wood's boat Paddleback because we'd had to paddle that boat back a few times, and this was Paddleback 2 that was out on the river. I pulled that boat out, and I put it on my trailer, and I took it down here to Outboard Unlimited. And I'm thinking I'm going to get this huge, huge bill. The next day, "Your boat's fixed." I said, "My boat's fixed? What was wrong?" "You had a spider that took up residence in your vent hole on your gas tank." Now, I had an 18-gallon tank down in the back of the boat. It has this rubber hose that goes up the side, nice little chrome air vent on there. Spider had gotten down in the hole, built his nest, blocked off the air so you could run it for just a little bit until it couldn't siphon the gasoline into the motor, and it shut down. I paid $5. I said, "$5? He said, "Yeah, I had to take the hose off and blow the spider out." So anyway, we put it out there. So every year I blew out my hose just to make sure that I was going to be able to do that. I had to do my part. I knew I had a weakness. Spiders like to live down in that hole, so I had to make sure they were cleaned out. Listen, God has something for you to do, and He will do what you can't do. But He's not going to do what you can do. You got to do your part.